You're listening to a Sun Life podcast. We pray that you be blessed by the teaching of God's word. For more information, visit sunlife.org.au. Enjoy the sermon.
There's a story of a great king. A king known throughout the land for two things. Firstly, his justice. And secondly, his love for his people of his kingdom. Now, his kingdom flourished because his law were clear, uncompromising, no corruption, no favoritism, no bending of the rules, especially when it came to the royal treasury. Now, the king had this very simple law. Anyone who steals from the treasury will receive 20 lashes. No exceptions, no buts, no ifs. One day, word spread throughout the palace. A thief had been caught trying to steal from the royal treasury. Now, this thief was dragged into the courtroom, all chained up, head covered in shame. The room is filled with officials and guards and citizens, and everyone wanted to see what the king would do to the offender. The evidence was overwhelming. The verdict was definitely certain. The king sat on his throne. He gave the command, remove the face covering. And as the cloth was pulled back, the king's face changed. Because standing before him was his very own daughter. The room froze. No one moved. No one spoke. Because now the question wasn't just about the law. It was about the heart of the king. What does the king do? If he lets his daughter go, then everything he's built in his kingdom collapses. Justice means nothing. The law becomes a joke. But if he punishes her, it is his very own daughter, the one he raised, the one he loves. On one hand, the king must uphold justice, and on the other hand, his love for his very own daughter. The king's eyes now is filled with tears, but his voice is steady. The law must be kept. I sentence this offender to 20 lashes. The guard steps forward, the whip is prepared, the daughter now trembles. And then something unexpected happens. The king stands up. He slowly steps down from his throne. He takes off his royal robe. He lays aside his crown. He walks towards his daughter. He looks at her, not as her king, not as judge, but now as her father. Then he turns to the guard with the whip. He says, I take her place. The courtroom is now stunned. The king, the very king who wrote the law, now stands guilty. And his daughter, the guilty one, is led away free. And as the whip falls on his back, the daughter is released. Blow after blow. Justice is not ignored. It is satisfied, but satisfied by the king himself. You see, friends, what I shared with you is not just a story, but it's a picture of God's love for you and for me. Because on that cross, God took the penalty of our sin. And on that cross, God died so that we would be set free. The word of God is very clear. Paul writes these words in 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus takes our sin. Jesus takes the penalty of our sin, and what do we get? His righteousness. And what do we get? Freedom. You see, the message of Good Friday is this, that God would take our place and we take his place. That we are the guilty ones. We are the one who stands in the courtroom and the evidence is undeniable. But instead of condemning us, God steps down. He takes our punishment. He takes the penalty for our sin and he sets us free. The great English preacher of the 19th century, Charles Spurgeon, he puts it like this. Christ stood in our place that we might stand in his place. It's a great exchange. That's why the Christian faith is all about what Christ has done for us and not what we must do for him. We call it the good news. It's good news. It's news that God has already done, not something that we must do. That's why the Christian faith, if you don't know, it's not a list of you should not do this and you should do that. No, the Christian faith is based on what God has already done. That he gave up his son, that God in the flesh died for us and we just receive that gift of salvation. Imagine this with me. I'll give you an example. Let's say that I was sent by the Prime Minister of Australia with the announcement for everyone living in Perth. I stand before you. I say, I have some good news for you. Petrol, no longer $3.30 a litre. The Prime Minister has changed the law. He's going to cap the fuel at $1.60 a litre. Now, I'm pretty sure when you hear that, you'll be what? You'll be jumping up and down, right? You'll probably be voting for Albanese at the next election, right? Because that's like some good news right there. But I continue, I have more. I have more. Hey, winter is approaching. It's getting cold and wet in Perth. So the PM, he's decided free tickets for you and your family to escape winter and go to Bali. Wow, now you might not like Bali, but hey, it's a free ticket. Surely, it's like, we love Albanese. Some of us would probably even want his face on the next $100 bill. I don't know. But Good Friday is even better because it's the grand announcement of something eternal, something that's already been done for you and for me. That's why when Jesus on that cross, when he died that death and he cried out those words, it is finished. He is saying the work is done. The debt is paid. The mission is complete. That is the good news. I have done that for your salvation. All for you. The Apostle Paul, he puts it like this in Colossians 2, verse 13 and 14. When you were dead in your sins, and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us, and he had taken it away, nailing it on the cross. Paul talks about how we all carry something. We all carry this sin. And on that cross, on that Good Friday, God would nail it on the cross and he would what? Cancel the debt that we all carry. Interestingly, the word debt here in the Greek is a piece of paper. It's a receipt. It's a bill. Let me share with you something personal. I get very nervous every time I go and eat some dim sum. Listen here. Not because of the food. I love the food. I love the chicken feet. I love the steamed dumpling. Phum chow, hai kao. I don't know what I just said. I probably pronounced it wrong. The pork buns. I love it all. But what I struggle is when the waiter or waitress scribbles something on that little white card. I have no idea what he or she is writing down. But I do know that at the end of the meal, I'm at the mercy of that little lady at the cashier. She's going to take that little slip that someone scribbled on that I can't read. And I know that there is a payment. Sometimes I try to argue with the little lady, but I'm not Chinese, so I can't read in Chinese. I have no chance. But isn't it true that at the end of every meal, the bill has to be paid? And that's the same with sin. For everything we do wrong, for every evil we do towards God or towards one another, every wrong, every moment of rebellion, it is written on that little piece of paper. And someone has to pay for it. That's why Paul says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." You know what Paul is saying right there? He's saying this, that sin is our master. That we work for sin. And we are paid by sin. And the payment that we are given from sin is death. You know, in the Bible, sin is not a habit. It's a master. It's someone that we work for and someone who pays us. And what that master pays us is death. Not just physical death, but spiritual death, eternal death, separation from God forever. I don't know about you, but I have done a lot of things that I'm not proud of over the years. I don't stand before you as a perfect man. No. I stand before you as someone who've done some horrible things in the past. And I know that every time I have done something, my sin is recorded on my bill. But here's the good news. That on the cross, as the Bible tells us, that on the cross, on that Good Friday, Jesus paid it all in full. That someone had to pay for that bill, and it wasn't me, but it was my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He died on that cross, and he paid it in full. As the old hymn writer, Robert Lowry, once wrote in his song, "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Friends, nothing but the blood of Jesus." That's why today is a good day. It's a good day because on that cross, the blood of Jesus, the death of Jesus, cleared our debt to forgive our sins, to set us free. And I want to make this very, very clear, especially if this is the first time you're with us or you're in church, that the good news is not about what I must do or how I must live or how often I must serve or how much I must give or how often I come to church. No, the good news is this: something has already been done. Something has already been finished. It is a free gift of God that God gave up his son to die on the cross so that sinners, people like you and me, our debt would be cleared and we are set free. And he says, you can all come. You can all come to my family. You can all come to this table because I offer that free gift. Not what you must do, but what I have done. That's the gospel. I'll finish with this story here. I heard a story from an amazing Scottish Reformed pastor, Alistair Begg. He once shared a story of the thief on a cross. You know, we heard the Bible reading that Jesus was in the middle and there were two thieves beside him. One thief mocked Jesus. "If you are the Son of Man, if you are the Messiah, why don't you just get down? Why don't you save yourself and save us?" The other thief says, "Will you remember me in paradise? Will you remember me in paradise?" And so the pastor, he shared this story. He says, "I can't wait to get to heaven one day and ask that thief on the cross, how did it work out for you? Because you were there, nailed on the cross, rightly judged for your crimes, and then suddenly you're in heaven. I mean, you never went to Bible study, you never got baptized, you never joined a church, you never put money in the offering bag, you never served on a team, you never read your Bible, and yet you're in heaven. So imagine with me, that thief next to Jesus, he dies. And then he finds himself standing at the entrance of heaven. An angel approached him and said to him, excuse me, what are you doing here? And the man said, I really don't know. And the angel looked at this man, what do you mean you don't know? And he said, well, I really don't know. And then the angel says, all right, then let me ask you a few questions. Are you clear with the doctrine of justification by faith alone? No, the man said. Do you understand the doctrine of original sin? No, the man said. Well, have you been baptized? No. Are you part of the church prayer group? No. Have you lived a good life? Not really. I was crucified on a cross. The angel said, well then, why are you here at the gate of heaven? And the man looked at the angel and said, because the man on the middle cross said, I can come. I can come. See, brothers and sisters, that's why today is a good day. Because God says, I forgive your sin and you can come home. You can come. You're welcome here. I have done everything to save you. My death was for you. You see, the thief had nothing to offer God. No good works, no religious background, no chance to clean up his life. But yet he was welcome into the family of God because the man on the middle cross said he could come. And friends, the same invitation extends for you today. Not because you deserve it, not because you've earned it, not because you lived a perfect life. No, because Jesus already paid the price for you. The debt has been canceled. The work has been finished. The gift is there for you. So here's a question for you right now. Will you take this gift? The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus died for your sin, you have that gift. You are saved. And today Jesus says to some of you, you can come. You're welcome here. You're welcome here. Maybe for some of you, you've been around church for some time. For some, you've heard of this Jesus. For some, this might be your first time. But today you say, Jesus, I want that gift. I want you. I know that I'm not a good person, but I'm grateful that on that cross you died. You took my place. You've set me free. I want to trust you. I want to give my life to you. And friends, today you can. And I want to give you that opportunity to say, yes, I want to come into that family. So I'm going to invite everyone to just bow your heads and close your eyes. Just for a moment of privacy. And I want to ask this question. If that is you today, and you're saying, yes, I want to receive this gift of salvation. Yes, I want to follow Jesus today. I want to lead you into a simple prayer. It's not anything magical, but it's just a way of saying, Jesus, I confess with my mouth that I want you, I need you. If that is you today, where you are seated, All I want you to do is just raise your hands so that I can pray for you. If that is you, and you say, well, I know that I've messed up and I've not done anything good, but I'm grateful that on that cross, on that first Good Friday, Jesus died for me, and I choose to follow him and give my life to him. If you do not know Jesus and you want Jesus in your life, I would love to pray for you today. You raise your hands right now. Put up your hands and I would love to pray for you. Yes. That's wonderful. Anyone else? Yes. You might be coming to this church for some time now, but on this day you realize, yeah, I need Jesus. I want Jesus. I would love to pray. Anyone else? Wonderful. Praise God. Anyone else who says, yeah, I want Jesus. I want to give my life to Jesus. I'm going to pray this prayer now. And I want us all to pray this prayer. And if you raise your hand, I want you to really pray this prayer. Are you ready? Please pray with me. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I cannot save myself. But I believe you died on the cross for me. I believe you took my place. I believe you paid for my sin. Today I turn from my sin and I turn to you. Forgive me. Cleanse me. Make me new. I give you my life. I choose to follow you. In your name I pray. Amen. Let me just close in prayer. Lord, I pray for those who on this day say they give their life to you. But I pray, Holy Spirit, as you come into their life right now, I pray that you begin to transform them, bless them, use them for your glory. Thank you for sending your Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus, to die on the cross for us. We love you so much. We are grateful. We are grateful for that cost, for that death on that cross. In Jesus' name we pray.